Ciao belli e buona festa. Okay, anyway. All right, I'll go back to English now. All right. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, he did so with a proclamation of his purpose. And I'd like to start turning to Luke chapter 4. He proclaimed his purpose. It was a promise of things to come. And we find this in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where he stood up in the synagogue and announced from the scroll of Isaiah, he proclaimed these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." The acceptable year of the Lord. That is the year of Jubilee. The proclamation of release from bondage and return to rightful inheritance. And why are we here observing this eighth day festival? Is it not because we seek that liberation, the fulfillment of that purpose? We seek and pray for a government to come that is ruled by a righteous king with justice and mercy. We look ahead to when we shall be finally released from bondage under the yoke of our current oppressor and ruler, the God of this world. And we yearn for the day when we will be able to live free and dwell in our rightful inheritance in a land from which the oppressor has been banished. Another question. Is there a national anthem for such a people that seek liberation, that await a return to that glorious nation of their own, now denied them? A hymn for them to sing in anticipation of the fulfillment of that Jubilee promise? If such a national anthem were to exist for that nation, or more specifically for the Israel of God, the church as we are called in Galatians 6, what would it be, and what would be the text? Who would have written the music? What would be the history behind it, the motive? I would like to answer these questions this afternoon. And so the title of this brief message is A Song of Liberation. Let's start with the text. Where would be the best place to choose the lyrics for such a song? Well, let's start turning to that place. Let's go to the book of Psalms and Psalm 137. Yes, what would be better than the book of Psalms as a source? And which psalm is devoted to the theme of captives yearning for liberation? Well, Psalm 137. And so I would like to read the first six verses of Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Upon the willows in the midst thereof we hanged up our harps. For there they that led us captive asked of us words of a song, and our tormentors asked of us mirth. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the eternal song in a foreign land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. Let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I remember thee not, if I set not Jerusalem above my chiefest joy. Those would be the words to our hymn. But they would need to be set to music, music that would movingly convey the mix of emotions in this psalm. The heaviness of servitude and captivity, the longing for freedom, the hope of restoration. So what place and what circumstances would give rise to the marriage of moving poetry and stirring music fit for such a song of liberation? Well, it would be in a land of under occupation of foreign powers some 180 years ago in Italy at the beginning of the 1840s. Not a free nation of its own at that time, yet yearning to become one. In this setting, the young composer, Giuseppe Verdi, doesn't that sound wonderful? Giuseppe Verdi. Okay, For English speakers, that's just Joe Green. Okay, anyway. In this setting, the young composer Giuseppe Verdi was struggling to launch his career. His first great success was about to appear, the opera Nabucco, that is, Nebuchadnezzar, a story of the Babylonian captivity after the destruction of Solomon's temple. And this work would contain our Song of Liberation and one of the most famous and beloved choruses of all time. Let's pick up the story as recounted in a reference book called The Victor Book of Opera. And I will just read from that. It says, Verdi, a largely unknown composer living in Milano, wrote Nabucco at a difficult moment in his life. His wife and two small children had all just recently died at different times. And then his second opera, Un Giorno di Regno, was hissed off the stage at its premiere. All this while his native land was under the domination of a despised foreign power. Actually, there were several powers in different parts of Italy that were over the nation. He vowed never to write another note, but he was under contract with La Scala to write another opera, and the director, who had great faith in his artistic and creative powers, forced the libretto into his hands. A libretto is the text of an opera. Returning home, Verdi, in his own words, quote, threw the manuscript with a violent gesture on the table and stood rigid before it. The libretto had opened to the words, va pensiero sull'ali dorate. Fly, my thought, on golden wings, back to my dear lost Jerusalem, my chief joy. These words were the opening line to a poetic paraphrase of Psalm 137, to be sung by the Jewish captives sitting on the banks of the rivers of Babylon, while sorrowfully calling to mind memories of their beloved nation that now lay in ruins. These words and the message of the bitterness of captivity, of the longing for a free Jerusalem, took hold of the young composer as he was moved by the analogy to the condition of his own native land. So Verdi launched himself into the work with the words to that famous chorus as the starting point and inspiration to the entire opera. And the chorus, Va Pensiero, or as we know it in English, Chorus of the Hebrew Slaves, how was it received? Had he successfully captured the sentiment of the psalm in musical tones so that others would be moved by the words and the message as he had been? Let me continue reading from the Victor book. At the first rehearsal, the stagehands shouted their approval, then beat on the floor and the sets with their tools to create an even noisier demonstration. We must remember that Milan in 1842 was ruled by Austria, and so at that first performance, the alert audience responded not only to the music, but to the analogy they clearly perceived between their own subjugation to a foreign power and that of the Hebrews. Despite the strict police regulations from the Austrian government against encores for fear of demonstrations, the crowd became so demanding for a repetition that it had to be given. And since that first performance, nearly two centuries ago, this chorus has remained much beloved by the Italian people. More than just a beautiful song by a great composer, it is, to many, an unofficial national anthem expressing a love of homeland and liberty. In fact, there have been at least two movements in recent decades to replace the current Italian national anthem with Va Pensiero, with the chorus of the Hebrew Slaves. I just will mention this as sort of an aside, so I apologize to the translator in advance. When this was first performed, I just want to mention the Hallelujah chorus, when it was first performed, Handel's Hallelujah chorus, the King of England wanted to hear it. And when the Hallelujah chorus began, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the King of England rose to his feet And when he was asked later why he did that in the for the Hallelujah chorus, he said because he was standing in the presence of a greater monarch than himself. Now, when Nabucco was performed, the Austrian emperor had heard about this, and he knew that even though it was just a story about a biblical story, he knew exactly what the secret message, the message was behind it and this liberation. So he wanted to hear it because he heard about what a great piece of music it was. But at the first performance, when they got to this chorus, unlike the King of England, he took, because he knew that they were seeking a different monarch than he himself, he went and he turned, he had his chair turned around, his throne turned around to face the back wall. He wanted to hear it, but he turned around. Anyway, that's just an aside. Okay. He knew that this was a song of yearning to put his yoke off of the Italian people and to put on, and that they sought liberation. So anyway, there's our song of liberation, a hymn for a people in captivity, awaiting liberation and a nation of their own. When Giuseppe Verdi first gazed on those words that moved him to pen the stirring music that gave them life, Italy, as a sovereign free nation, a nation, was just an idea, a concept, a hope, and a dream awaiting its appearance in concrete form. And so with us, the kingdom of God, in its full reality, is something that we await, a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Verdi had been beaten down by the harshness of his personal life, and so he was in despair. But on top of all this, his homeland was not his own. But the vision of what was to come urged him forward. This is actually an extended special music announcement, this message. So I'm going to ask the choir to start assembling over here. Okay. Yes, that vision of what was to come urged him forward in penning this marvelous choral work. And so it is with us, who, like the heroes of faith that came before us, we confess that we are strangers and pilgrims here and now, and we declare plainly that we seek a country, as it says in Hebrews 11, and a city that God has prepared for us. So back to the question, is there a fitting hymn for a people yearning for liberation? Well, the answer is decidedly yes. Born of personal tragedy and national subjugation, we have this national anthem to urge us forward to finish the race and to remember Jerusalem above our greatest joy while still in this land of our oppression. Va Pensiero, or the chorus of the Hebrew slaves, with music by Giuseppe Verdi and words from Psalm 137. Which the choir will present this afternoon for special music.